Welcome back, everybody, to the Famous Monsters Podcast. We're here to assemble and disassemble horror, sci-fi, and fantasy genre movies. With me today, we got Philip Kim, our fearless leader. Don't afraid to say hi to the people.
Hey, they I'm like your you. Fearless leader.
We got Chris Bellini from Coffee TV.
Hello, hello.
And Chase Hensley, our media coordinator.
I'm here.
And of course, me, George Morrow, your jack of all trades. Recently, we lost a very important bat in the cave, Adam West. And here at the FM, we don't mourn deaths. We celebrate their lives. So we want to talk about our memories and the things we grew up watching of Adam West. I personally, like I think most of us here, had Batman. He is the Batman, right? Is there any other, really? I think not. You know, he's been Batman possibly the longest next to Kevin Conroy, who did the voice for the animated series in the 90s. But he's been the face, he's been the voice, he's been everything. You know, even just recently when he was in a Family Guy, you still saw Batman, I think. Even though he was calling himself Mayor Adam West, in my mind, I always saw Batman is the mayor of Quahog. You know, and it was a wonderful thing. Like he was everything.
Well, you know, obviously, same thing. I remember when I was watching back-to-back episodes. I'm glad I could see the beginning and the end of the episode. I didn't have to wait a week or whenever one originally aired. And of course, it's just like how he just delivered that deadpan delivery of some of those lines. The Batusi, we can't forget that dance when they. Of course, with the whole Catwoman romance that he had going there, when she told him we could always kill Robin, and he's like, we can't do that. So obviously, a lot of memories there that I have. That, you know, and the brilliance of him is the Blu-ray disc just came out a couple of years ago. I had to buy it right away. And for me, I know it's nostalgia. They stand up for me. I mean, sure, you know, there can't be, and some, you know, the younger generation may look away at him, but he really kind of created something that people have tried to mimic over the years. And that's my memory watching him growing up. On Coffee TV, actually, back-to-back episodes coming home from school.
I think Adam West and William Shatner went to the same acting school because...
Their cadence is very similar.
Yeah, they're exactly like Robin. You know, it's of course, Shatner has a little more passion to it, and he's not behind the mask. But the other thing was, what I thought was the most brave of all was... You know, Adam West, back in those days, you know, the big muscle men, they didn't exist. And he still put on something very slinky and tight. And I thought to myself, if he could wear that, I could wear that.
Chase disagrees.
Or Chase can wear that.
No.
No Batman unitard for this table?
I'd wear it.
I'll rock the rock. Right?
Oh, okay.
He kind of has that Robin look. He does have that Robin look.
I can see that.
And the feel. Hair.
Yeah.
And the feel. Yeah.
Chase, how was your memories of the West?
I mostly just got Adam West from my face is turning really red. From
it's okay, we all love Adam West too.
Don't cry.
Don't have to blush.
I'm gonna cry.
Don't cry.
I'm crying for him. It's not the allergies, it's real. Mostly from what I've seen from was on Family Guy, because by the time I was really watching any Batman kind of stuff, it was the, what year was that, with Tim Burton's?
It's the 1980s.
Yeah. It was a little bit later than that. And, you know, I was younger, so I watched that. And then I was all about, you know, watching the cartoons and stuff. And I didn't watch a whole lot of the older stuff when I was a kid. So I got really introduced to him, aside from just seeing, like, random pictures of it and, like, little clips on shows and stuff. I would see, just hearing him on Family Guy. And then I found out, oh, he was the Batman. So I was like, okay, cool. So I want to get involved with that. So I'm actually, it's in my Amazon basket. I'm getting ready to order some of that so I can watch it.
The entire three seasons, or just what were you talking about? The full commitment?
First season.
Okay, all right.
I think everything and the movie.
I think if you go to Walmart, you can get it all for $5.
It's in a bin.
I don't know. I don't know, man. That was an expensive Blu-ray collection.
No, it's true, but just everything ends up in a Walmart bin for $5.
Like I've checked that bin, and it's $7.99.
I may end up in that bin for $7.99, tax exempt. It's a.
Well, I'll pick you out there.
It's a fear.
I will pick you out of that bin. Well, you know, like one last thing I wanted to add is obviously, you know, the beauty of it is, sure, I knew him as the Batman, but, you know, of course, that deadpan delivery again comes back in as the mayor of Quahog. And I mean, obviously, he's one of the characters that stands out. And Seth MacFarlane, of course, you know, a great kind of tribute to him. saying that he was, you know, a great person to work with, and that he was passionate, and that his presence in those recording sessions elevated the whole room. So that's definitely something you want to hear, because, you know, you see somebody, you like the performance, they have a good energy, but to hear that behind the scenes, they're that sweet, really hardworking person is just kind of the icing on the cake for me. So definitely nice here. And of course, the bat signal, right?
Yeah.
They're going to, the bat signal will be in LA as a tribute to him.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. They're going to shine the bat signal tonight. Yeah. It's, I would wish I'd be there to see that.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a one-time thing.
One-time thing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're just going to shine it to honor Adam West. And that's a big deal when Hollywood says, hey, we're turning a light on for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. They haven't done that for me yet. So.
Well, there's time.
We'll have to create the Philip Kim symbol.
That's what we need.
PK.
You've seen it, right? You haven't seen that, I'm sure. Sure.
The preview?
I'm pretty sure.
I saw the preview.
Did you?
Yeah.
Chris watches everything.
I try
Nothing
to.
Nothing gets by him.
And I like a lot of stuff, too. So I'm sure I'm going to be faulted as these conversations continue for my preference for movies that you will probably all have contempt for or scorn. But we'll cross those bridges when it happens.
We don't talk about it. It's a family show.
Okay.
We have love for everybody.
Okay, good.
There's no
we're going to put that through the test.
Everyone gets a trophy.
This is summer season, so there are going to be a lot of movies we're going to be scrapping about.
Oh, that's true. It's absolutely true.
It is true. And, you know, with the passing of Adam West, you know, there was also another passing, and that was possibly of the horror genre.
And these are big words. Make sure you tread water lightly
is.
Here.
But here's why I say it. Obviously, we're talking about The Mummy and the remake of that. And I say it in a way that possibly the Universal movie monsters aren't horror films anymore. Maybe now, which we've talked about a lot in the office, like now they're more of in a fantasy world where we're not really afraid of them, but they're just this mythical thing that we're maybe more of wonderment of what it is, as opposed to like, oh my God, I should run. And so with that,
unless
we talk about, unless you're Tom Cruise,
that doesn't matter, you're running.
You're born running. That's
but
what
he
you
looks
do.
Good running. Come
yeah.
on, guys.
I wish I was 60 years old and looked like that. Like, honestly.
He's 60? I thought he was like 58.
50, 60.
Yeah, two different years.
When
difference.
He's 80, he's going to look like that still, I bet.
Hey, buddy. When you're my age, that's a big difference. That's the difference between life.
How old are you? What? You're in your 30s, 40s?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, you're not a lady. It's okay. That's only for women.
This is sensitive. We're talking sensitive area here.
It's okay. You're in a sensitive
You don't
place.
Even know.
A little pat on the shoulder for Phil Kim there. He's definitely trying to.
No, I mean, you know, for me, I'll get Dr. Phil on the whole thing. You know, we were talking about it after we saw it, and you know, there's no terror or the fear that must have ensued back in the 30s when The Mummy was first shown, right? 30?
Was like 32?
Yeah, it was like right after the release of Dracula, the success of that followed. But, you know, back then, you know, for lack of a better word, society was ignorant of a lot of things. We had
There's
not...
an innocence.
Yeah, well, we hadn't discovered all the corners of the world. We didn't have the kind of you know, computer sonar technology that we have now. We hadn't discovered so many things. So anything that you don't know is terrifying. So, you know, I think that you can scare somebody by, you know, giving like bad science and or no science. But nowadays, these kids are so smart. You know, I listen to them all the time and they like break down the science of even mythology. And you're sitting there going, so I think that's why they're, you know, for this generation, a guy who kidnaps them and tortures them for, you know, 24 hours or 48 hours, it's a real thing. I mean, that's literally the edge of terror for today's children, because that could actually happen.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Saw, or even though there's like mysticism behind Saw or
Hostel.
You know, Hostel and Insidious and so
on. Or
forth.
Strangers, got to throw that one in there.
Oh yeah.
That's a movie that holds up for I won't say redefines, but definitely for the people that think they've seen it all.
Yeah,
that has some great scares, some great suspense.
Absolutely. Yeah, or what about Dumb and Dumber 2 and 3? I mean, that was.
I haven't seen 3. I did see 2,
terrifying.
Which I was looking forward to.
Yeah,
and it was scary.
And it was disappointing.
Yeah. Well, that's the one way to put it, but you know, it's crying. So I would say that you know this generation of kids. The millennials, they're smart. I mean, you know, I don't know if they were smarter than the last generation or the generation before. They're certainly well informed.
But I also think it's the speed. We got to talk about speed here. I mean, if you look at a trailer from a movie back in the 30s or even a movie back in the 80s, the way it's cut, how long a shot's on, it's forever. Now you got maybe what? 100 shots in a 2-minute trailer, everything goes quick. It's faster. Yeah. They absorb it quicker.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So maybe it's not a matter of intelligence, just about to be able to process it, because they've been trained with the technology and
Well, when you have Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez running over a car that's flipping over out of a plane onto a running train.
That's good timing. And that is just crap. Yeah, that's what it is. Don't,
and you're like,
don't spoil it.
No, I'm just saying, like, you see that and you're like, this dude's in like toilet paper wrapped around his body is walking at me very slow. I can outrun that guy. Like, it's not
right. Well, I mean, that's the brilliance of what they tried to do with The Mummy. Obviously, they did it with Brendan Fraser. They did it back there. I think they did a good job. They kind of got on the Indiana Jones feel with a little more light humor, and it worked.
Which was wonderful.
The third one was a little disappointing for me, but the first two held up.
We forget that happened,
and we were on top of. And
was Brendan Fraser still in the third?
He was in all three.
No, Rachel Weisz though. Yeah, that was Maria Bello. I think stepped in for. I was hoping she was going to show up at the end. She did not show up at the end, but hey,
no, she did. She was the mummy.
No, come on. I have to rewatch. I didn't stay to the end of the credits, okay? Yeah. Phil, they weren't doing that back then. But I'll try it next time. But I mean, the important thing is I got to take my hat off to Universal. It's a money business. Let's not turn it back on it.
Yeah.
They want to make money. Avengers is making a lot of money. And you can tell the way this new Mummy movie came out was they want to do an Avengers series with their Universal monsters. That was my interpretation.
You got Dr. Jekyll.
You're talking about, one day we will need the monsters to save us, whatever that last line is. I'm like, they're going to try to build a franchise on it. Now, did they do a good job of starting it off? Well, that's the conversation we can have.
The Pope is not happy with us turning monsters into heroes. I just want to let you know.
I didn't read that article. Did they get published?
There was a smoke signal.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I was just saying, I would look that stuff up.
But no, this Mummy definitely felt like a Batman versus Superman. Like movie where it focused more on setting up this world that we're preparing for, this dark universe, as opposed to focusing on the mummy, which.
Well, let's say this, because I got a feeling we're going to go down a dark path here, no pun intended. I think you said we're going to assemble and disassemble. I think we're going to get into the disassemble part. Let's at least praise the movie for its good qualities. Great special effects, right?
Oh, yeah. Action, you can't turn it back and visuals on that they.
And
there's no denying.
If you're looking for, not to disuniverse, if you're looking for a summer blockbuster, you want to get out of 100 degree heat and you want to kill 2 hours not worrying about what you need to do at work
and you're
on
homeless,
Monday.
And you need a place to
sleep. Wow. I'd say that, you may get your price for the thing. No, yes.
Yeah. I thought that's what you were.
No, I'm just saying, I think that, and why they let those guys in? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The movie's that bad. Huh? They're like, we got to fill the seats.
$11.75 is $11.75. Theater owners, they don't care.
So having said that, and of course, Tom Cruise, I am a fan of Tom Cruise. I had a chance to meet him once. Yeah. Only guy that I've ever met that, I was doing one of these junkets that he got up when I walked in the room, and I'm sure he did this for everyone, walked across the room, said, "How you doing? My name's Tom Cruise," shook my hand, then went and sat down. Usually when you do these things, you're lucky if the people are even looking at you when you walk in the room. They're looking at their head, they're rubbing their eyes.
He's fantastic. Yeah. Just the fact that he has so much humility that he had to tell you who he was. It's great.
Yeah. So having said that, now please take the reins. Let's get the scalpels out and see what we're going to do to the mummy.
I don't know if we say scalpels. Like, I feel like every time you watch a movie, you become a super critic and you become a filmmaker, whether you've made a film or not, immediately you're like, well, I know what I would have done, and here's what I would have made it better. And we always talk about films here in this office. And some of the things that we talked about is like, we miss horror films. We miss the Universal monsters. It's like, why couldn't we have done something where we were in the pyramids?
Down in the tombs.
Yeah, like Chase had this wonderful idea. Tell us your plans for the mummy.
It reminded me, because you were talking about like how the older movies would play off like shadow and darkness and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's called noir.
They were black and white. And so I was like, well, you could do all this like in a dark setting, which in one part they went back to that abbey, and it was like kind of like that older, kind of like. Like old universal,
feel like. It's like a castle kind of fortress.
But like what I was thinking would have been cool is if they just had the whole, like not the whole movie, but a lot of the movie like down in the tombs, and it's like you just have a torch or something or a flashlight, and it's really dark, and then you have whatever's going on, like some raised mummies that the main mummy brings back, like it always does, just creeping around, and it's like you can't see too far in front of you, so you have that anticipation the whole time. You're wondering what's going on. You have all that suspense. So that could have been one way they could have went at it instead of having,
Well, here's the thought about that. I like that. And I think, I don't know, you guys chime in. I think one of the biggest problems were, there's two things that I think had a big problem, but one being, I don't think it knew what it wanted to be. It could have been that. There were elements of that, but at the same time, there were little elements of the Brendan Fraser, because Tom Cruise is kind of a wise guy. They had the big budget action of a Transformers movie. And then you kind of threw some other things in there. So what was it? It's like I think they tried to take all these pieces of blockbusters. If we throw it in the pot, it'll work.
True. And look, and I'll tell you, the I love Tom Cruise movies. I mean, I'll watch anything he does. Like, he is just...
The dude's an entertainer. Like, he knows what he's doing.
It's not just that. Like, he believes he's that superhero. And I believe he believes he's that... I believe he is... a secret agent who survives explosions in real life. I mean, the guy does his own stunts. He scales the tallest building in the world.
Don't forget, hung off the 747 or 757? Mission Impossible. He literally mounted himself on the door and let the plane take off.
So, I mean, either I just kind of knowing that he's kind of a, like, when he retires or when he, you know, passes on, there isn't anybody to replace that guy. I mean, he's just, he's fantastic. So the problem with when you have somebody who is so strong is not because Tom Cruise isn't a team player. His signature is so strong that you can't really have him in an ensemble movie to have it really work where he's an even equal. That's
non-action movie.
Yeah, non-action. Yeah.
Magnolia, I think he was great at
playing. No, of course. Yeah, for sure. But I'm talking about like, you know. I mean, this was MI2, like, you know, car flipped over, he, you know, helicopter blades, and then the train comes by, like, it's all happening at once, and he's you know, doing what he's doing. I would have liked to have seen, like, you know, when I wrote Monster World, the comic book that we have, I literally thought of this, and what I think they should have done was just literally stayed, like what Wonder Woman did. They should have had him just stay in the 30s. And I think it would have worked. I think the period piece would have been phenomenal. I think all the monsters should have seen some end or some lack of conclusion, as they did in all of those movies because of, you know, the sequel aspect of it. And then in the end, they should have brought him back now, because then at least there is this long historical reference.
Yeah.
When they jumped right into, you know, look, personally, there's so much political and war stuff going on. Like, I don't need to be put into that space. You know, we're in Iraq, we're in whatever. It's like, I'm here to escape all that.
Yeah.
So I think the mistake was, the romance happened too quickly.
Did it happen though?
Yeah.
I mean, basically she shows up and we find out they slept together.
Well, were told.
Yeah. Well, earlier it does a better job of telling and showing, but
yeah.
But you know, and you know, it's funny is he's like, well, I thought there was a second shoot. That's funny.
There was another one.
But it killed his heroism. Like
You didn't like him.
Yeah.
And he was a thief by nature. Yeah. He was stealing antiquities. He wasn't even doing his job for the U.S. military by doing long range reconnaissance.
Like in comparison to George Miller's movies, the Road Warrior series, you know, like the last one, the reason that's like a perfect movie is because the whole sequence took place in a day. They were going across this desert, and every second was a decision, A or B, A or B, A or B. And initially all the choices were A, which is me, and then there was a point where he said, me, you, and then it was you, all you. So at the end, even though it was such a short, fast-paced movie, it's like, we don't even know if they loved each other, because I don't think there was enough time, but they were committed to each other. The romance was there. I felt it.
See, I disagree with you. I agree that they're going that way, but I said two things.
Yeah.
The other thing was and I won't use negative, bad words, but the problem is, you got to emotionally connect me to the characters. I got to like them. And even if I don't like them, because I like bad guys, you got to make me sympathize with them. Or as in that case, I want to believe the romance. That moment, and I won't spoil it for people in case they haven't seen it, the sacrifice at the end would have been so much more poignant if I cared or if I bought that romance.
No, you're saying, I'm saying like, I think George Miller's Road Warrior did that. Do you agree?
No, yeah, I thought you were talking about
the
crew.
But the mummy, it's like every chance he got to be the good guy, because there isn't a lot of time. It's a 2-hour movie or a little over. It became a joke.
He didn't make good decisions.
Yeah. Well,
based on, you know, which is okay.
Or they dwelled on, you know, they dwelled on how long he lasted. It's like, I don't even know where that fits into
long.
It.
We have to long how long he lasted in bed. We can't sexually, leave that out. It was 15 seconds was the record.
Right.
I don't buy it. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm
the dude survived the plane crash. Come on.
You know, I'm saying exactly.
He's got endurance, people. That lady was a liar. I didn't like her either. Actually.
So he's a thief. She's a liar. No, but the point is that what George Miller, because it was a similar movie. Like he's just being they're being chased. He had an opportunity to make that B choice. But every time you refer to his B choices, and that's a directorial flaw. It's not Tom Cruise. It's not the actors. It's a directorial flaw. I like the director a lot, so I even hate saying that. But the point is that there were some odd choices made that it could have been better.
Well, they didn't obviously err on the side of character, I don't think. Yeah. They could have spent more time, and I don't know if you guys saw that King Arthur movie. Same thing. Yeah. They wasted so much time in that movie on the special effects and the action. Take 20 minutes of that out. Give me a few moments where I see a connection between these people. I see him torn with what he's doing, or show me where I can say, oh, okay, I understand this guy. I care about this guy. And then the rest of the movie, whether it's all action or it sucks, I'm going to be much more forgiving, because at least I'm like, I can't wait to see the end. I can't wait to see what happens to these people.
Yeah.
It's true.
I anticipate a sequel to this kind of situation.
But is it going to be a sequel to The Mummy, or are we going to see Russell Crowe, of course, plays Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Is it going to be his spinoff? Are we going to see Dracula? Is Crowe going to wait until part three to come back?
What the hell happened to Russell Crowe?
In life or in the movie? Or both?
Both. It's like, are you entertained to... I'm kind of growing here. I mean, I love that guy. I mean, I still do, but it's like, you were a hero. You were a leading man.
He was the gladiator.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're like Dr. Jekyll.
Now he's this guy.
So, yeah, anyway.
And that goes back to a lot of the character building. No one had enough time to give you or show you enough of what they were made of for you to care. You know, and I feel like a big thing with the Mummy movies is that The Mummy specifically, you care for the mummy at certain points. You feel for him because the traditional ones have Imhotep or Kairos from the Hammer films. And there's usually this love that they lost and they sacrificed themselves for. And now they're back to get that love back. And you feel for that. You feel like maybe he's not that bad of a guy. I would do anything for the person I love too. And you didn't get that with this one. And not that you didn't want to feel for a character, but we weren't shown enough.
Well, all I got of it, she wanted to sacrifice some guy to bring back. She was going to sleep with him first, so I guess that worked out for him.
Well, besides the fact that she was completely hot, you know, outside of that, it was the same thing that, and these guys are going to kill me, but it was the same flaw that Force Awakens had. The minute you kill your dad, no one's like, you're redeemable. You get what I'm saying?
But they're not going to redeem Kylo Ren.
No, what I'm saying is like the reason you felt for these bad guys in the past, or even Darth Vader.
She killed a baby. Come on.
Yeah, she kills a baby. Kylo Ren kills his dad. I mean, it's like it's kind of a pointless thing. It's like if the minute you kill a kin, no one's going to be like, oh shucks, that was a mistake. We're going to forgive you. Like the audience will remember that, and like you're just
especially when it's Han Solo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The dad, yes, but Han Solo. I mean, there are people still upset about that.
Yeah, but I still feel they could have redeemed her. If we
not had, after the baby, I'm a father.
Okay,
so
I will admit the baby thing is hard. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. But like, if we had, let's say, 20 minutes of seeing her, the dad and her relationship develop, because they kind of tell us that, you know, he was grooming her to be the ruler of Egypt. So she's set in her mind. It's like, all right, my dad loves me. He's gonna give me all this kingdom. And if we got to see that relationship build,
and then the
baby comes in and he's just like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't need you anymore. You go to your room. I got this now. You know, your family just turned on you. To have that scorn, then there might be more of a connection.
But you were saying, like, in the past, all the best movies that become legacy films, there are no bad guys. You know, I'll just go back to Darth Vader. You'll love the guy because you could see the world from his point of view. You know, we are going to bring order out of chaos. He believed religiously in what they were doing. You can step behind.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Maybe
I feel like I can rebuttal that.
He freaking killed Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I was going to say, like, and essentially, if you're going to use that as the example, he was corrupted into where he was. She easily could have been corrupted by Set, who was telling her to do these
well,
things.
Well, they would have needed to do that. They would need to really build that up. And then maybe she would have got some points.
And that could
have
been she was being used, you know? Because you got that kind of sense too. She was being used. But again, they didn't give you enough time or give themselves enough time to develop that story.
And the reason is because, again, it goes back to, I think, improper casting. When you have a powerhouse, like, it's like World War Z. What a great book. And what, you know, what a marginal movie, because it became a Brad Pitt vehicle. I mean, I can't tell you, I can probably count, like, in large volumes, Brad Pitt walking out of a ship, walking out of a helicopter, walking out of a, like, in the midst. It was the same thing. They just...
Well, there's about 12 guys in Hollywood, you can say that.
Yeah, right. But my point is, like, it was a vehicle for, you know, it was a commercial, in essence. And I think when you put somebody as strong, as incredible, and as memorable as Tom Cruise, and that's why if you look at the Marvel Universe, not until it became so much bigger than any possible actor could be, earlier on, you know, like Iron Man, what was he doing before that? It wasn't... Robert Downey Jr.'s career was made on Iron Man. Agree?
Let's say it came back.
It came back.
Well, no, I'm just saying, it was
the combo of that and Tropic Thunder in the same year.
Yeah.
But
when did he do the Sherlock Holmes movies?
Probably afterwards.
Yeah, that was afterwards. Yeah. But my point is that, like, you know, he was a forgotten about actor. Great actor. Yeah.
Still acting, actually. He never stopped acting.
Yeah, right. I mean, I get you're going to try to say that Cruise had too much power and that's what took away from the movie. I just think, there's going to be a bigger expectation for Cruise in there. But I think it was just that he wasn't given the material that would make him shine or make the movie shine. I noticed that Chris McQuarrie was on the screenwriting list. So I wonder if he was brought in because he's, of course, wrote and directed the last Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. And I think the next one to try to make it more like Tom Cruise. But I think that's where they failed.
Yeah.
Maybe they tried to make it more like Tom Cruise. I mean, he just played somebody that's like we've seen him play before, but without the emotional heart or, you know, we weren't rooting for him. At least I wasn't.
Like an Edge of Thunder or not Edge of, I'm sorry, Edge of
Days,
Tomorrow.
Okay. So Days of Thunder, Edge of Tomorrow.
Like Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise played a kind of a unlikable weenie and you love them. Like that was.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the guy was killed in this war and he had to be forced to come back and he was committed to going over it over and over again to try to find the answer.
But
so,
I'm saying, like, that's a science fiction movies are great because you can replace them with any capable actor because it's the story that you're going to.
That is a film where somebody else could have played the
right, right. But Cruise did. Cruise was directed to not overwhelm the movie because you had Emily Blunt. I mean, it was.
You had an ensemble cast.
It was a perfect film. I mean, it's one of my favorite films. And so what I'm saying is, like, with The Mummy, again, I'm just telling you, I think that's where the flaw was. But,
there were a lot of flaws, unfortunately. They really tried hard. They spent a lot of money. But, you know, it's almost like some of the other Star Wars films, the first three, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money, but no connection. He shot too far, and people didn't connect with it. Although I heard overseas it's doing okay, so... That may be enough promise for Universal to go back to the drawing board and say, we'll try. Because they were saying the Dark Universe is dead. You actually just said it when we started this. So, I mean...
Well, I said that horror.
Well, horror. Oh, horror, man, wow.
Horror is possibly dead for the Universal monsters. But not necessarily gone. I think what we have to accept is that maybe it's just not horror anymore. And now it's a fantasy world. And just accept that. You know, just like how...
Isn't Karloff, who played a lot of those characters, isn't his daughter Sarah always say that he always liked to refer to those films as terror films?
Yeah.
Not horror films, because horror is more gore and such, and terror is more suspense.
Yeah, it gets you more cerebral as opposed to your feelings.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the next one will be more cerebral, because we can buy cerebral. I like slow. If there's a slow burn with the pace, as long as I can hook into these people, I'm not going
to
complain.
Well, what I'll tell you is, like, knowing what I know, I'd still pay to watch it again. I mean, it was a fun movie. If we're deconstructing it, I'm telling you where the flaws were. It was not a perfect movie, not by any means. And I think that it isn't because they couldn't have done it. I think they just didn't for whatever reason. And again, I think, they've already kind of started this, but you even saw, like, when you saw Russell Crowe and you went into the laboratorium where all the, you know, monsters.
Prodigium.
Yeah. You looked at it and it you were almost like, wait, is this now? I mean, so you know, they tried very much with the steampunk feel, the sepia tone, you know, colors. And so it isn't like they didn't. It's almost like subconsciously they knew that that's where they needed to go anyway. So I think they just should have stayed there. It should have been a period piece. It should have been, you know, the language should have been there. The colloquialism should have been there. And I think people would have had a great time. So.
Yep, like I said, they missed the boat on it. And I know Sarah
Yeah.
Karloff, I think she also said that they shouldn't mess with perfection or said something like that. I
Yeah.
heard in an interview. So
Yeah.
she's probably sitting there
Yeah.
laughing, going, I knew it. I knew it.
Ain't
But hey,
gonna
they
be
got, what,
dead.
four or five more classic monsters that they can dig into. And depending on who they bring on, maybe they'll nail it.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I hope the Creature from the Black Lagoon doesn't come out like the Predator. You know, it's you like there should be. I mean, it's a little weird and bestiality-esque, but you know, they should have a beautiful woman. And it should be again. I think they should set it back in the day when it meant
No
something.
humanoids from the
Yeah.
deep, then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
Yeah.
they
Don't
will,
go
'cause
that route.
they had the arm in there, and they had like a vampire or a Dracula skull in there, so maybe the other ones would
Yeah.
be borderline prequels
Yeah.
to this one. That could be good.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
Universal, if you're listening, bring me back on.
Oh, I see what this is about.
Yeah. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
So,
But, you know, just let the dead live and die and do what they will.
And I will say again, don't give up on it, people. If you're looking for a little
No. Oh, no,
fun
yeah.
entertainment, it's there. We're just being hypercritical because we
Absolutely.
expected something
And you
else.
know what? Honestly, it's like I compared it to like Batman versus Superman.
Which I liked.
And
I'll
it's
just
like
throw it
it's
out
one of those
there.
things. It got some flack. And even at first, I tore it apart as a big comic book fan. But it's one of those things you go back and watch because you know it's world
Every
building.
time it's on TV, come on. That's
Every
becoming the new Christmas
time.
story for comic book people, right?
No,
It's on again. I'll pick it up
I
from
gotta
there.
tell you, Wonder Woman is like,
Fantastic.
yeah, well, just the music
Oh.
alone. I mean, I'm, yeah, it's a
Yeah,
battle cry. What did they say? It was inspired by Robert Plant's.
you mean her main theme?
Yeah, the Robert Plant. I
Yeah.
forgot what the song is called. It's super
Is it
famous.
like
Well,
Black
actually,
Dog?
they're talking about relationships and connections. Wonder Woman's a great example where she took her time to give you a few extra scenes where at least you could see a Chris Pine and Gal Gadot connection, where at least it meant something more than Cruise did with, I don't, who was the lead again?
Jenny, right?
Gotcha. All right.
Gotcha. Yeah. I got to read all the names.
Yeah.
That's the
Anyway, so yeah,
only
so like,
reason
yeah, so that's good news for there. DC's probably happy there. I'm surprised
Yeah.
they did
Oh,
not
yeah.
sign on Patty Jenkins in a contract for sequel, which is interesting.
Wow, the
The
director.
director. So
Oh!
maybe because they under some people speculate maybe they underestimated the popularity of the film, but let's hope they bring her back because
So you know what she's
she
doing.
brought in and she had those hero moments. Without those hero moments, they fall apart.
Oh,
And there weren't
yeah.
any hero moments in Mummy because we didn't like him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Oh, wasn't the dead friend a hero?
You know, well, that's the other thing. We're talking about what is this movie? I was seeing shades of John Landis. You had him at your
Yeah.
convention.
Yes.
Yeah.
American
Werewolf
Werewolf in
in
London.
London.
Yeah.
I'm like,
No,
they
and it
ripped
was
that off
great.
too?
No, it
Yeah.
was great.
Well, that was
Those
one of the shining
are one
moments.
of the best parts, honestly. We love those parts.
Well, especially when they brought
I've
him back at the
Yeah.
end, where he goes,
Yeah.
"Thanks for bringing me back," or like, "Okay, the team's
Yeah.
reunited."
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, I wish if they were going to do that, they would have literally thrown the ball. Like, because it isn't that anybody who goes to see the mummy wouldn't have caught that. So that was another flaw. I think, not that they were trying to hide it or whatnot, but it's like they really should have. That's where the joke should have came in, like
Yeah,
the
no.
references.
That would have definitely added to it when they make comic,
Yeah.
and they make alluding to some of those classic films, but they have kind of a light comic spin on it.
Yeah, like he'd
Yeah.
be like, you know, it's
Like,
like
wink,
it,
wink. There's your wink, wink.
or he's like, you know, it's not like you got eaten by a werewolf or something. You're
Yeah.
like, boom, and then done. And then you're, because then at least it's
People
like,
eat that up. Yeah,
yeah,
they
because
love
then at
those.
least the audience is like, you're not
Ah,
trying to
rip it
put one
off.
over on
Right.
me. You're actually, you know, giving it
It's an
respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a cheap ripoff.
Right. Exactly.
Not
Yeah,
saying that they ripped it
exactly.
off. That's
No,
just what I
I mean,
thought.
I didn't get that sense. I just think that they missed an opportunity to
Yes,
get a
absolutely.
chuckle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Now,
indeed.
with The Mummy, it was a remake this year, or within this era, I should say. We are definitely in an era of remakes. I think that's not deniable, right? And a lot of just reboots, redos, and adaptations. We're getting drowned in it. And sequels galore. It's like if you're not making a sequel, don't bother,
Yeah.
pretty much.
Well, you know, I am a fan of the sequel, as long as there's something there for me to grab onto.
Hey, a part two is always great.
Some part twos actually exceed part one.
Exactly.
Ones. And part, a remake.
Part three is where it gets a little...
especially if you're talking about like Spider-Man.
Or anything. Spider-Man. I'm scared for Avengers 3. I hope it's great.
It's got to be.
You know, both X-Men 3s weren't good. They had two shots at it and they still didn't get it.
I will tell you that... but you know, I mean, some people... You're right, but some people have great strength. Like, I think Bryan Singer... It's kind of like Michael Bay. I mean, he's a better storyteller, but I think he's like Michael Bay. Visually, like, he really knows how to use the special effects.
Oh, yeah. Visual stimulation on point.
The character's name. I'm sorry. It's been a long day, so I'm tired. The character's name who can open up time portals.
Doctor Strange?
No. In the X-Men, she was, like, skipping through and then chopping the...
you mean the last one? Olivia Munn's character?
Yeah.
Cyclone? She can do portals. No. That's Nightcrawler can go through portals, can he?
Well, Blink was the one who was able to open up portals.
Yeah.
So you're talking about Days of Future Past.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. So with that, it's like you saw that and like that was a great way to use the visual effects and actually.
Which was also a part two.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that was great. Unlike Wolverine, you look at that and you're like...
Part three. Now, there you go. The best one ever.
That one broke the mold. Because usually it's part one's, all right, I'm on board. This is good. Part two is like, well, this is amazing. Give me whatever you want.
Part two is better.
Part three is usually like, okay, this sucks. I don't know why I bothered. But yeah, they went the opposite route. I call it the fine wine approach.
I like that.
Because it starts off a little sour, but by the end... You have this wonderful taste in your mouth of like fruit and nuts and everything, and it's just weird.
Yeah, but I felt
nuts
like,
in your mouth. That is weird.
What I wanted to say about Wolverine was I felt like I was watching, you know, the sequel to Nurse with the Purple Hair. It's like the dude's dying of cancer through the whole movie, and it's like it's just depressing. Like, you know, I
it was too real at times. Yeah.
Well, that was why I took a whole new that approach was what really made it stand out. It was fresh.
Yeah,
we hadn't seen that before.
Grounded
that.
It better than the other ones. Did.
And you know, again, you see where he's at, and he's not a nice guy, but you're still behind him. You're still rooting for him.
It definitely it totally grasped onto the idea of him being an anti-hero, which he's always been pitched as. But with the past few movies, you actually root for him. You don't feel the anti-hero thing at all. You're like, oh, he's just a good guy. But this one's like, all right, he's done some bad things now. He's doing some questionable things.
And you still like him, and that's
and
why
you
still want
to win.
Him.
Yeah.
And I'm still upset. I mean, I guess we're spoiling it that they killed him off. But hey, maybe some of that serum will regenerate him. Because I'd like to see him in Avengers.
Well,
if Fox lets him go, though,
nothing ruins a movie like a kid, an action movie. But that kid was bad.
Oh my god, oh, yeah. I'm down for a sequel with just her.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Her and Hit Girl.
I'd pay for that.
Crossovers. What happened to crossovers? Yeah. We used to have them back in the day, you know.
Too many rights and licenses.
Yeah. Can you imagine that nightmare? Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Everyone owns a piece of the pie. But no, yes, remakes. I am looking forward to the rest of the remakes that you're talking about. There are a lot out there right now.
What's something that you're looking forward to?
That's a remake?
And maybe not so much looking forward to.
Justice League, which is not really a remake, but it's a sequel. War of the Planet of the Apes. I mean, the first two, let's hope there's a fine wine approach to that, to quote you. Thought the first two were great. I'm looking forward to see that story kind of hit a climax. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh,
you know,
my God, I can't wait for that.
And that's because obviously they made that deal. Marvel and Sony made the deal where they let them borrow them for Avengers and for the next one. And they helped them kind of spruce up scripts. So hopefully the script's going to have that Marvel feel that we're used to. And the fact that Tony Stark shows up, I don't know for how much, is also a nice bonus.
Yeah.
So that gives me great promise. And we're not going to see the origin story again. I didn't want to see that for the fourth or fifth time.
Oh, you mean where Spider-Man
gets bit by a spider?
Gets killed by the Joker. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, they did that
in the last that's what I'm saying. Uncle, it's like every time. It's like, I mean, I know the story.
Yeah.
I'm here. You got my money. Please give me a good.
Give me something new.
7 minutes.
Yeah, I'm done with that. With most iconical, like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, everyone knows. You know, it's in our DNA. We know their backstory. Just give us the goods. You know, we want to see him in the suit, kicking ass. And if you're Spider-Man, throwing up quips. You know, quips and thwips.
And he's back. He feels a lot like the I don't know, 67. Was that the cartoon series? The cartoon Spider-Man series?
Oh, Superman.
Amazing.
Spider-Man.
That feels like they kind of got back to that. A lot of wisecracked and a lot of light humor.
And we actually got a kid.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually a teenager. So, yeah. Just like, I used to read the 1960s Spider-Man. That's what I grew up reading.
Yeah, but Aunt May is super hot, and it's a little weird.
That's a little off. I'm not going to lie. That's a little weird. That's
because you've seen her in The Wrestler.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, Aunt May, you don't even look like that. And then Marissa Tomei, just boom, and you're like, okay. Now I got.
But you know what? I think I'm kind of on. The more I watch it, the more I'm on board. And here's why.
No, I am on board. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah.
It's like, you had him in Marissa Tomei.
Give me all the Marissa Tomei.
I've never been more on board in my life.
Forget Tony Stark.
Yeah. But I feel like we're really embracing the now. You know, like, he's on his social media. Like, he's used. Like, this Peter Parker today wouldn't be walking around with a camera around his neck, because that would just be weird. You know, he'd have his smartphone. He'd be taking pictures of that and posting it on Facebook, you know, whatever. And nowadays, like, people aren't aging the way they used to. Back in the 1960s, if you were, like, in your 30s or 40s, you looked like you were 80. But nowadays, if you're in your 40s, you look like you're 20. You know?
But the other weird part was, Aunt May always looked like she was 80, and she probably
she always looked like she was dying,
yeah. And I'm just wondering, like, what's that family story where you're, like, 90 years old, lady, and your nephew is, like, 10? Like,
but what always thought it would have been, you know, a big gap between Aunt May and the father.
Yeah, wasn't it always weird, though, too? Like, when you look at the backstory of Spider-Man, his parents looked like they'd be around our ages.
Right.
But his aunt and uncle could have been easily his grandparents.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it's like,
that's
that was – so, like, yeah. now it seems like they're correcting that. It's like, let's just make this real. And you know, she's up there. She's, like, in her 40s, 50s herself, you know.
So it's not, I don't know if that's up there, but yeah, she's definitely
she's not
an age.
She's not 20s.
You guys can't see what's happening with my sign language gestures, but anyways, keep going.
Well, everyone can see it.
Live.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Hey, I'm no spring chicken either, right? I may look good on the outside, but inside, it's all withering away.
Oh, wow. That's a conversation for another show, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
So, Phil, what are some things you're anticipating or not so much?
I like them all. You know, it's interesting because, you know, not that I'm like a big screenplay writer, but, you know, I'm a writer and I write comic books, and I have to think about this stuff a lot for my own stories. And I try to correct, and I, you know, I make tons of mistakes too. So this isn't to say that, you know, if they gave me the job, it would be better, and it would be. But my point is, you know, as a writer, you start looking at the stories a little differently. So it's hard to. I'm more scared at sequels than I am like, and well, I watch every sequel, but you know, I'm a little more afraid than I am, like you know what happened with Fright Night. Fright Night was one of my favorite movies, the original.
Still holds up.
It's still great.
Yeah,
just revisited.
It's just an amazing. Little teenage titillating scary. I mean, it was perfect. It was just a perfect movie. And then, you know, it became somebody's vehicle in movie two or in the so and you know, when that happens, it's like I just get disillusioned. I'm a little unhappy, and I, you know, I don't revisit it again. And then when I do, I'm like, oh wow, you know, I shouldn't be punishing the original masterpiece because somebody turned it into a cash cow. But so, you know, what am I looking for? I think Amityville was great. I think it still holds up. You know, the Margot Kidder one, the original. I think anything that's a haunting, that's another thing. It's like, there's not a lot of refuting of apparitions and ghosts. And you know, maybe if we can find like what ghosts are or what spirits are, and it's all scientifically categorized, we'll look back at these movies and be like, eh, you know, but... But since we haven't done that, again, it's a frontier of mystery that we don't know. You know, any kind of supernatural type of stuff just really holds up, I think. It's scary to me. Because I believe in ghosts more than I believe in UFOs or Bigfoot. Like, I think, you know, I've experienced it. Let me tell you about that story on another podcast. But it's pretty frightening. And there are different types of spirits, like, you know, if it was a violent death, then you may have a poltergeist, and that one isn't gonna, you know, just knock something off.
It won't just be a moved chair.
Yeah, it's they're coming after you, and you don't want to be in that house. So anyway, the point is that like, so Amityville, I hope they do it well. And again, it's one of those things that could be really hokey. Yeah. The other one is, you know, I love Planet of the Apes. I mean, Rod Serling. Yeah, it's a social commentary, right? The Planet of the Apes. And so it's always interesting to see, and I think they did it well. I think it's been well adapted for 20 the new generation. Spider-Man, of course. Leatherface, it's like,
ugh.
Yeah, the reason I say that is like, it was never a good movie. Leatherface was a shock film, and it was.
So, are you officially devaluing the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, absolutely.
You hear that, people? That was Phil Kim. Yeah. I'm Chris. Yes. I was behind the original film.
It's still good.
Hey, this guy.
We like it.
I don't care about it. The Saw series, I think they're masterful.
All of them? They're up to number 8 now.
No, I'm saying like yeah. I think they hit the, it's like what Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street did. I'm not a particular fan of it. I think I was too old when that came in, and you know, it's like.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say Leatherface. I'm sure you guys read the story that those rights have floated around for a while. Mm-hmm. And then the guys that do Saw, mm-hmm. that company, yeah. said, we want this property because we're going to do with it what we did with Saw.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, Kim Henkel and Tobe Hooper had the rights. They sent them back. But as you know, that Leatherface 3D or whatever they called it, I mean, that was like garbage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I don't think you can do that anymore. 8 or 9 movies, that is going to be tough. Although Tom Cruise is up to number 6, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leatherface.
No, number 7, The Mummy.
Well, that's not Mission Impossible. And sure, I mean, it's the same character.
Sure,
so he changed his name. Oh, man. Sure, yeah. Ethan Hunt. Yeah. That's the story. Yeah. Didn't you pick it up at the end?
Yeah.
Ethan Hunt that's is the became. Mummy.
That's who they summoned at the end.
I'm buying a ticket right now.
Yeah, right. But Jeepers Creepers, of course, is always kind of fun. But yeah. And Annabelle.
Come on.
No, let me just say this.
I thought you said you were super positive about all
Dolls.
Them. I'm seeing your true colors come out now.
Well, Dolls,
that's a spin-off sequel.
Dolls yeah. coming to life is Chucky. Only scary for one or two, and then it just gets silly. It's like, you know, zombie movies, and I won't say which one, or zombie TV series, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's a moment in time. That's why 28 Days Later was just an incredibly brilliant film, because you're there and it's done. You know, when you're on the road for 7 years running from something, you're like, well, there's rigor mortis. You know, have you ever seen what happens to meat?
7 years. So that makes me feel like I'm going to go on a limb that you're talking about The Walking Dead.
No, why okay. would you say that? Anyway,
he's talking about The Walking Dead.
The point is that when you you lose a lot of people who are trying very hard to suspend disbelief. That's all I'm saying. It's like, you're like, all right, man. And then now you've got like tribal people. It's like in 7 years, you're really literally talking different languages. So I mean, I love The Walking Dead.
We still watch every episode.
I do. I still do. Like I do.
Yeah, I'm addicted. We never miss an episode.
but you know, it's like when the junkyard people start having like, I'm like.
When she said she wanted to lay with Rick.
Well, that's cool.
Loved it. Yeah. I would pay to see that. In fact, I think there's a pay-per-view movie. If you're out there, make it.
It's called Lay with Rick.
Yeah.
A triple.
Again. And again.
The Walking Dead, The Humping Dead, whatever it's called. I don't know.
But I'm just saying, like I think there are movies that can, or there are storylines that can go on forever. And then there are storylines that, you know, like when Three's Company went on so long that it became Jack's Bistro. Do you remember that?
It's I
like,
did.
And
I watched it.
Yeah, I was going to eat there.
Yeah, and Ritter's career was just completely over and never came back. It's kind of like that. I think at some point. It's like,
wait, like you said, Annabelle is not a great example of that, because here you have The Conjuring. Conjuring 1 and 2 held up. I think I trust James Wan to do Conjuring 3 and 4.
Oh, James Wan's great.
He's gonna deliver. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's who's the custodian of the property. Right. And these guys, yeah, they saw a quick buck. And they tried to turn it, and they made it. And I can't blame them for it. But then at the same time, I won't run out and see it. And I don't even think they screen those movies, actually, to be honest with you. That's probably why, you know, it's a little suspect. If they don't screen them, that's usually a bad sign.
Yeah.
That they want to cash big on the weekend and then have the critics after the fact.
It's like, whatever it is, it is. Whatever.
Yeah.
We got it. All right, Chase. What are your picks for this year? What do you got?
As we turn the beard rug.
As we
got
the beard rug. Page.
Jeepers Creepers 3. I want to see that. Big one. It.
Yes. Oh, yes. That preview sold me.
Yeah. How excited were we? in this office when that happened.
I was running around the office screaming.
He ran into the office and got me. He's like, George, it trailer, it happened. Now.
Like, I knew the day that it was supposed to be coming. It's like, hey, the It trailer's going to come out tomorrow. And I was like, I found out what time. I'm like, okay. I'm sitting there at the computer. It's like, okay, 2 more minutes. Here we go.
See, this is what they do. Reload. This is what they do at work. They don't do anything.
Well, it is work related.
That's true.
We don't want to do this. We have to do this.
I have to share it with the world. And I can't do that if I can't see it myself. So... Like, and at the time, like, when it was getting ready to, like, doing the trailers, and I think even before the trailer, I was posting about, like, the old one and the new one. And there was a lot of people upset about the new one. They're like, oh, no, it's not the classic. It's not Tim Curry. It's not this and that. I'm like, well, it's one of those things that was really good and could be better when you redo it, I think. Because there's so much more, like, technology and... Not necessarily better acting skills, but better acting skills, I think.
And the first one was made for TV too. We got to keep that in mind.
Right.
This is a big budget film.
I'm hoping this is R, right?
From what I've seen, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it is. It's like, so you had it was made for TV, so you have to limit it in that sense. And then it's just like, you could get so much bigger of a budget now, so you can do so many more things with it. You can just expand so much, and I feel like they could really, like, I think it was Stephen King that said, like, if you were making, like, a TV series, it'd be how many seasons or something like that, as opposed to, like, however long that movie was. And I feel like with the trailers that they're showing, and I think it's going to be probably a two-part thing because they're just showing, like, the kids. So it's probably going to be the first movie is going to be probably, like, a two-hour-long movie of just the kids doing their thing. And then the next movie probably be a two-hour-long movie of the adults, at least that's, unless anyone knows otherwise.
No, well, they've been pretty quiet about it.
I don't think there's going to be a sequel yet.
I'm like 4 hours of it. I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the made for TV one, it was good, but it's just I feel like they can just do a lot more.
You often dress up like a clown, right? And
Tuesdays,
yeah, that's true.
And where's that club at again?
That makes a big difference.
In the morning, and then when I get here, I switch out. And
okay, so he's a clean clown. It's the evening clown.
Well, he wanted to know, and what club is that you hang out at?
The Hong Kong, right? The Hong Kong Clowns.
Dinkies.
Dinkies.
What?
Well, that's an after hours club.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm really looking forward to it. And I think.
And Tuesdays.
It's just a good.
That's a good call. I bought onto that as soon as I saw the trailer as well.
Well, that's like that kind of blows up what I said earlier about The Mummy. It's like you can't have one entity just following you around and scaring the crap out of you, right? So it can't be done.
Well, it's not necessarily following them around too long. Like it follows them around while they're in that space, and then they leave. Them. It's like, whatever, I'll use someone else. I don't care. And then they come back. It's like, oh, it's time.
He's got mustard on his face.
That ran out. You want to put another card in there?
Yeah.
Oh. Just let me throw one in there.
Thesis, 54 minutes.
55.
We ran over. Oh, wow. We're 55 minutes?
It must be over 55.
Wow.
What's the time there?
Well, the recording on this is 52, but this was running.
Yeah. I don't hear the end of it anyway. It goes longer when you have more people.
And I think we're having actually a good discussion.
Yeah.
I want to see Ragnarok too. Are we on timeout right now?
Yeah. Are you recording?
I'm just putting a new card.
No, audio's still
on. Audio's still
on. Yeah, but that can be edited.
Yeah.
I like your clown pants. Jambalaya. Get potatoes. Banana peppers.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Another 55 minutes.
You never heard that song? It's the girl from Jambalaya.
They should put that at the very end of the show. What we just did.
Probably have to shut it off for 3 minutes.
Oh, so those cannons can't run that long.
They overheat.
Okay, so you really do
want
to have.
You want something like this, okay. Because then you won't have any issues. Or one of the new DSLRs where they figured that out. So yes, we're talking about it and all the excitement around clowns.
Yeah. And there's lots of excitement, unless you're my wife, Jen, who is our art director. If she sees clowns, fisticuffs rise.
So she is not seeing the. Is it's not
seeing. Oh no, I'm watching it by myself.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I remember. I was like, "Hey guys, check it out!" And I sent them on like Google Hangouts. I sent them the trailer for it, and George was like, "What have you done? She's gonna hurt you." I was like, "Oh crud!"
I thought she was gonna hurt me.
Musical
she
clowns.
She sits behind me.
Musical clowns are like literally her kryptonite.
Musical. I think it's all clowns.
In musicals.
Musicals and clowns. Yeah, don't combine the two, and then you just die.
I haven't
seen
one of those films in about 5 years, so you'll have to tell me about those.
Yeah, you have. Come on, stop it.
I've seen all the dirty ones.
It's made in Japan.
Oh, it is a dirty one. Yes.
Robo clown geisha.
Little tiny people.
I have to say, I don't know if I'm super excited, but I'm very curious towards the Jumanji sequel.
Yeah.
Because it's a sequel, and there's two movies that are coming out that are posing themselves as sequels that feel like they're reboots. And it's Jumanji and also Flatliners, but I'm going to hit on Jumanji. And it has The Rock, and The Rock has proven
sold.
He's in the movie you want to see it. It doesn't matter what it is.
He's the other Tom Cruise.
He really is.
A little taller, a little darker, but you know, it's the other Tom Cruise.
The guy, but he has great timing. Like he is on it at all times, and whatever he's in, you're down for it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
he's just a fun guy.
Yeah, you know,
he knows good material. Yeah. And he knows what I think he has a good finger on the pulse of what'll sell and what he'll excel in.
I'll be honest. I think even if it's not good material, he finds a way to make it good.
Well, I haven't seen Baywatch yet. I'm still
neither
excited
have I.
I'm
still want
to
see it.
I heard it bombed, but I mean, I refuse to believe that he will not elevate that film.
Yeah. No, the guy's he's amazing. And Jack Black, Kevin Hart's become an unstoppable train himself. You know, he's doing film after film, and he's getting better and better. He's learning.
But he does feel a little more repetitive. He's like
he's a comedian.
He's playing the same
stand-up comics. They have their one notes. You know, luckily for him, his one note hasn't fallen yet. So. I'm personally still on board.
Central Intelligence, brilliance.
Yeah,
unicorns
I loved it.
And rainbows.
Yeah, it was utter corniness, but it was great still.
Yeah.
I loved it. So from what I've understood, it's set in now. It's in present time, and what it is like, we've been seeing a lot of pictures of them. They're actually in a Jumanji video game, and these kids who are almost in a Breakfast Club like situation, just a bunch of like a jock and a nerd and all this stuff. They play the video game while they're on like detention or something. And
does Jeff Bridges show up? Yes, I just need to know.
From like Tron, he's like, this is the glory.
Not after the last.
Or maybe if they couldn't afford Jeff Bridges, perhaps.
Bo Bridges. Yeah. As long as we get a bridge of some sort and just pop it in there. But yeah, I'm very interested to see where they go with that, you know, and see how it ties into the beloved Robin Williams one, which, you know, I grew up seeing that, and that was just wonderful. Anything Robin Williams did was gold, you know, and to have him in a movie where he's sucked into this board game and he is our hero and he's trying to fight this jungle of ridiculousness that just tramples through the city. It was wondrous. And I'm curious if they're gonna do that same kind of thing. Will the video game become real life, and will it transfer over, or are they stuck in the game? You know, it'd be interesting to see how they play with that.
Didn't you think like the night at the museum was like a Jumanji sequel?
Jumanji with Ben Stiller.
I'm watching it. I'm a little confused. Oh right, it's another movie. Different universe, but yeah.
You're waiting to see the board game pop up somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like it just falls out of Roosevelt's horse, and he's like, oh, put that away.
But making this board game and the video game, it's like, who has a license for Jumanji and is making these? It's like, first you got a board game. Now it's like, we're going to make the video game. How is this happening?
Maybe it's like The Ring.
I think we're going to find out.
A tape just gets made.
A tape is made.
Yeah. But
we have to wait to see how that one unfolds.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of excited for that. The movie I'm actually really kind of excited for after watching the trailer this past week is Flatliners.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it was going to be a reboot at first, but after watching the trailer, apparently it is a sequel. And Keith Sutherland is coming back to reprise his role from the first film. So he's going to be a doctor in there and everything, so maybe he's their connection.
They should just bring everybody back. They should bring back...
Bacon won't do it.
What?
Bacon won't do it.
Oh, yeah, he will.
Come on. It's like how long it took him to come back with that Footloose thing he did on, was it Jimmy Fallon or was it the Footloose dance he did to celebrate it?
Like Conan or Jay Leno.
Fantastic. I mean, it took him a long time to even kind of come back to that.
Yeah.
And you don't hear him talking about Friday the 13th either, right?
Was he on Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
When?
He was one of the guys who got the arrow through his neck.
He was a dying person.
Oh, this is like early.
The original that started it all.
It's Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon's in everything at some point in time.
6 degrees, right?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I think I like the fact that they're bringing back Keith Sutherland, but, you know, I'm hope he's not the guy that's
maybe
encouraging him.
Maybe they
let me show you
from what
it.
From what they show, the main character, and I'm drawing a blank on her name again. This keeps on happening to me every time.
Her brother is a cowboy.
Is she the girl from Vampire Diaries?
No.
The main actress in Flatliners is the one who played like, Kitty Pryde and the X-Men, and she was in Juno.
She's a
great actress.
She's amazing.
What character did she play in Juno?
She's Juno.
Oh, Ellen Page.
Ellen Page, thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like a fool for like not. Every time I always forget her name. I want to say like Natalie Portman. It's like, damn, look like. Why do I always think of Natalie Portman? But she is the driving force in this
film.
You
have to talk to your psychologist.
Why do you think about Natalie Portman?
Exactly.
Why shouldn't I?
You know what? I got to tell you something. It must be Natalie Portman and Gal Gadot.
I don't know. I think I don't want to get her angry.
They have a similar look. I mean, they're both from the same country. Yeah, they're from
Israel. She's Lebanese and
they're both Israeli, right?
She's Israeli. Yeah. They're both Israeli.
Israeli snake, like beautiful women. Oh my goodness. Great food too. Yeah. Just
so I'd like to see them in a movie together, huh?
Professional meets Wonder Woman.
This is okay. Black Swan meets.
Yeah, there you go. Isn't there some kind of Black Swan superhero they can throw in there?
I want them to fight together, not against each other.
Well, they always have to start fighting against each other. That's how they make money.
I'm pretty much
Wonder Woman v. Black Swan.
I'm pretty sure there's no fighting in what he's talking about.
Somebody's fighting between the lines here, huh?
But no, I gotta say the trailer for this looks like you were saying earlier, like we have new technology now that we can use, bigger budgets and stuff. And it feels like they're utilizing it in a very good way. You know, the technology that they're showing them, it makes sense. Like when you remember the old flatliners, there was just like pasties that they're sticking on. And it looked like someone's like put together garage kit that they had for this little device that they were doing.
It's okay. My dad's a chiropractor. These are just laying around the
house. Yeah. While this one's like, all right, you can see like they're funded by like a school and someone's probably giving them the money to have like some freaking Tony Stark tech to go into the afterlife and everything. And it looks like it's creepy as hell. Honestly, like it looks like this looks kind of like a scary movie.
Well, that's good.
And very like cerebral.
If they take it up a little level, then it can be a little more horror oriented. You get the thrills, the suspense, people on the edge of their seats.
Can I tell you a movie that I absolutely am like horrified to see again? And I love this movie. No, Blade Runner 2049.
Ooh,
gotcha. See, the beauty of Blade Runner was at the very end. You're like, oh, he's a replicant.
We'll see. But
they still argue about that.
Yeah, because originally in the original theatrical cut, it was left open.
No, but he was clearly a replicant from in the Philip K. Dick universe. So he's a replicant.
According to Philip K. Dick, he wasn't though.
Oh really?
Yeah. In his book, he said that he wrote him as a human, and the screenplay writer said that he wrote him as a human too. Mm.
But Ridley Scott argued it.
And he made his director's cut, and he's a replicant. And
said he wanted to be a human, right? That's the big debate. Yeah. I heard the director sat down with those two guys at dinner.
Well, but honestly, I mean, look, I don't care about what anybody says. If Ridley Scott says he's a replicant or a little cowboy or a little horsey, that's what he is.
So you're throwing Ford to the side.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on,
Indiana,
man.
Jones, you knocked the fedora off his hat.
I will say Ridley Scott and Steven Spielberg. Keep going.
Well, Spielberg, yeah, you can't.
No, I'm just saying, like, these are giants. They know how to tell stories, and I'm just saying, like, nobody's else's opinion matters at that point.
Spielberg, I'd be behind. Ridley Scott, I enjoy his work, but
well, you know, I mean, okay, the fact that Charlize Theron's character, as smart as she was, didn't realize she can run left or right.
Serpentine,
while the obelisk was falling. I get it, but you know, once in a while. But I'm just saying, they're brilliant people, and they know how to tell stories.
No denying that,
so
for sure.
Replicant. So, but
maybe you'll get your answer.
But clearly, Gosling's character is a replicant.
Oh, I definitely feel he is. Yeah. The trailer, I feel like it's pretty much just yelling at you that he is a replicant. Yeah. Like, there's no denying.
Here's the thing, though: do they ever release stuff like that and want you to know that?
This is the thing, they're misleading. Here's the thing is, I think those type of kind of like the Richard Matheson-esque storytelling Easter egg gotchas, I think they're gone. I mean, I think they almost got to kind of tell you what you're buying.
I hope not. I mean, at least in TV,
I don't like it when that happens. No, but it feels like trailers nowadays, they give you the whole story now, and
I'm saying is like that gotcha thing. It's like, look, you got your Matheson, Serling. I mean, where do you go from there? It's done.
Well, I would hope in the case of that movie, I mean, Ridley Scott, look at Alien, how much secrecy was enshrouded in the Covenant before that came out, and even Prometheus. I'd like to think, although, because he's producing it or is he executive producing it? anyway, I'm assuming that there are probably some stringent guidelines there, whether they don't want to give too much away or spoil. I mean, this is a long time we've been waiting for this movie, and Ford's back in it. So if they tip off too much, you know.
Well, he's gonna apparently his son's gonna kill him in this one too. So.
Oh, I hope not. Kylo Ren is back.
You gotta stop making kids.
This guy with a weird.
At that point, you have to wonder. Maybe it's him. If every kid starts killing him.
No, that's right. You gotta go behind the scenes. Why do they hate you so much, Harrison?
He's like, is your mother here? Is Sean Young here? I'm hiding. Oh no.
And that's why Gosling's there.
Yeah. There you go. He's the baby. Care of business. Yeah. It's possible. We'll go the Shia LaBeouf route, huh?
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Well, he died in the long run.
Shia LaBeouf did in the series?
Oh, I'm talking about careers.
Oh. Because he's back.
No, I think he's dead. I think what you see I think what you see is the mummy.
Yeah.
The mummy.
Why did
sequel?
They get him to play the mummy? There you go.
You saw the bag on his head and everything.
That's I did there. See that. He's not a star anymore. Yeah. And then I heard he got arrested for walking on stage or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they were paying him to do it, but they arrested him anyway.
He'll be back, maybe.
Boy, that's tough.
He's not Arnold.
Hopefully. Is Arnold going to be the new Predator? Does anybody know? They say he's not, but I'm hoping that's just a lie.
Yeah, I was just hearing
I know. There's always like hints and talks about him coming back. But
Elpidia's not coming back. I know that.
Yeah. Well, she seemed very disillusioned with the movie when she got cast for it. So that's a surprise, even though it's got her a lot of fame. But Schwarzenegger, Dutch, we don't know what happened to him. They got to answer those questions. Last we saw him was on a desolate, destructed field in the jungle, right?
It would be nice to see him come back and take some Predator tail.
You know what would be fantastic? If you see Jesse Ventura doing his conspiracy theory, and that's the opening. He's like, there are aliens.
Before he died.
Yeah, before.
Well, that was never proven, right?
Yeah, I got it.
He wasn't ripped in half, right?
No, no.
That's one of the other guys.
Duke. Bill Duke.
Yeah.
And Sonny.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of exciting things out there. So, yes, definitely it's going to be an interesting summer. So I hope that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we're going to get some hits. You know, we're going to get some bombs. You know, it's just a matter of...
It's a great time, I think, to be an audience because it's like they're all fighting to give you $200 million. Like, you know, there are people starving and losing their homes. And, you know, Hollywood gives us these $200 million movies. And I love it.
It's a great balance. It is.
We are being spoiled now. Yes.
Yeah. They give you what you want. They give you all the drinks that you want. And then come Oscar time, you know, they say, it's time for you to probably drink some water and eat some food here. Kind of sober you up. But it's a good ride. So you got to get on board.
We're definitely, it's not just the era of reboots and redos, but it's also the era of blockbusters. And we're being drowned in it and possibly in a great way. No, I mean in a good way.
Drizzled, sprinkled.
Well, once in a while they throw in like some silly rom-com that costs them like 87 cents and it's being billed with, you know, Thor and Iron Man and Star Wars. And I'm like, who thought that was a good idea? Like,
I don't... It's counter-programming, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that hate those movies. They're looking for something else. Or that's those true. Date nights, those first date nights. You're not going to take anybody to Thor.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I'm taking my wife to Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's you took not your first date night. What was the first movie you took your wife to?
Dude, what? Man, what?
It was definitely like... something like that, like Star Wars or something like that.
I'm waiting for Chris Bolini to be like...
I think it was the proposal.
What's the date?
For me.
What year is it?
Times have changed. Yeah.
My wife despises romance films, so that's why I have to bring
Well, she's
to
not going to see It with you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So if she sees It with you...
Unless
then
I want a divorce, then I bring her to see It, then yeah.
I'll see It with you.
Why don't we see It in La La Land?
Just commit suicide. That's what that is.
Wow. You could mix genres. You were talking about crossovers.
Oh, no. I'm all for it. But she doesn't like musicals or clowns.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. See, now we're peeling away the layers.
Like,
of the
onion area. She's running the cameras right now, so she's probably giving me dagger eyes, just so you guys know.
She is shaking her head. No, everything's going to be okay when this is done.
As the axe
rises. But when we go home.
I can't say.
I may never come back from under the covers.
I don't even know what that means. Let's go.
But on that note, that's another show. As always, I'm George, and you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Nicolopolis. With me is our fearless leader, Philip Kim.
That's me.
Can we follow you anywhere, or should we leave you alone in your darkness?
That's right. You can follow
follow
me
him home.
You can follow me.
I am.
You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. That's about it.
Yeah, I have no handles. I don't do that stuff.
Handles.
You
know,
yeah. No.
What year is it?
There you go. Where am I? That's called the setup, everybody. If you don't understand that, I set that joke up. I walked into it. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm sacrificing my humility.
You should have been in The Mummy with all the sacrifices. Oh, yeah.
I'd work with
Chase
Cruise.
Hasn't said much, but man, he came in with a zinger there. Bam.
Wow, I'm getting hit three ways here.
I know.
I'm not going to come out from
before I die, I would like to either be in or direct a movie or write something for Tom Cruise.
Do it.
Maybe when
he's heard that.
Maybe when
we
he's
want
like
you,
105
Tom.
Years old, and it's like, you know, him and
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. It was
fun. Keanu Reeves and Leonardo DiCaprio, put them all in there.
Yeah, and then Taxi Driver.
De Niro. Pacino. Pacino. Yeah. Pesci. Yeah, that's what you got.
And the Odd Couple.
Pacino, Pesci, and De Niro.
And the Odd Couple.
Well, they have that movie coming out, The Irishman, on Netflix.
All three of them.
Directed by Scorsese.
Is that the one based on the? You're talking about doing a book.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's off a book or a true story, but it's going to be a movie directed by Scorsese with De Niro and Al Pacino again.
When's it coming out? Don't talk about rumors.
Oh, no. It's being filmed right now.
Okay. It's called The Uber Driver.
I've seen that movie.
they're getting wooed
is
by
he,
Lyft.
Is he doing like a selfie video where he's like,
I tell you what, if Lyft wants to throw money my way, I'll make the Lyft driver. I'll make the Uber driver. I'll make the back seat driver. I don't care. Write me a check.
It's where the Uber and the Lyft driver like
fall in love.
That's right.
There's your rom-com for 87 cents.
There you go.
you know what? All your casting would just be on an app.
There you go. That's it.
Boom. Done.
An IMDb search.
Well, we obviously don't want to leave you. But
you gotta go.
We also have Chase, our media coordinator.
Hi.
Bye, Chase.
Bye. Follow Famous Monsters. Just Famous Monsters, all one word, for Twitter and Instagram. And then just Famous Monsters of Filmland on Facebook or FMOF. There you have it.
Yeah. Catch us on Audio Boom, iTunes, and YouTube.
I want to thank Chris Bellini.
Well, thank you for the seat at the table.
Yep.
It's always here for you.
Yep.
Forever. I appreciate that.
What year is it?
Okay. And cut.
Ooh.